Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only cast of Jersey Boys.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's
Thanks up? For coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. All right. Before we get started, everybody just say into the microphones your name and who you're playing in the show.
I'm Keith Hines, and I play the role of Nick Massey.
I am Drew Seeley, and I play Bob Gaudio.
I'm Matthew Daly, and I play Tommy DeVito.
My name is Aaron DeJesus, and I play Frankie Valli.
And if you guys haven't seen the show Jersey Boys before, I'm talking to our listeners now, you got to come. It's awesome. I saw it at National Theater probably like 8 years ago or something, and it was so much fun. Obviously, people have seen the movie, which was a little darker than the show, but I'm so excited to go see it again. So first of all, let's talk about you guys are performing at opening day, right, for the Nets?
We are.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. National Anthem. Come check it out.
Yeah? All right. Have you guys practiced the National Anthem, or is this something you've done before?
We have done a few other events.
Yeah, we did it at a Warriors Spurs game a little earlier on in the year. That was pretty awesome. So it's practiced. It's ready to go.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Nats Park? This will be
the first time. We drove by today and got really excited.
Oh, nice. Well, who's going to be does anyone get to hit the big final note, or is it all just harmonizing?
It's everybody harmonizing every and everybody's going to hit it hard.
is it going to sound like the classic Frankie Valli sound at Nats Park?
It kind of does, yeah. It's been arranged so that it brings the essence of the Four Seasons kind of harmonies and style.
Instead of "Oh Say Can You See," it's "Oh Sherry Can You See."
That's right.
Something like that,
Oh, I have heard. I've heard this rendition, yeah. It's a little different. Okay, cool. And then, obviously, you got to come out. I know there's rain in the forecast in the morning, but I think it's going to be cleared up by 2, so come out, see it. It's going to be sunny, and then if the clouds aren't gone by the time you guys take over, they'll be gone the second your voice is open, you know, your mouth's open.
That's right.
Yeah, you're going to clear them skies. All right, cool. And then, in addition to the Nats, you guys are performing at the Cherry Blossom Festival.
Yes, that's right, we're kicking it off.
Yeah.
Are you the first one that goes down the parade route? Or?
Yes. Yeah, we'll be opening the parade.
Nice. This is going to be so much fun.
Yeah,
so
it's going to be awesome.
Have you guys seen the Cherry Blossom before?
No, I haven't.
I think on the drive over here, there was a couple little...
Did you see some?
I visited D.C. once before, but I don't think it was during Cherry Blossom season, so...
Yeah, well...
Has most of it happened?
The peak bloom already happened, yeah. It was like late March, but you can still see it on a couple of them there. But the actual big national Cherry Blossom parade isn't until late next, I think, in a couple weeks, right? It's
right.
2 Saturdays from now, I believe?
It's like a week and a half away.
Yeah, you guys are going to have a blast.
We're it's going to be so really great.
Yeah.
What song, because so with the Nats, you obviously have to sing the national anthem, but for the Cherry Blossom Festival, what songs do we got in store?
We're going to sing a medley of songs from the show. It'll be Walk Like a Man. The girls are going to sing My Boyfriend's Back. And then we're going to sing Oh What a Night together.
Nice. December back in 63 or late correct. April but here in 2016. Yeah. You mentioned the ladies. A lot of people forget. There's the Jersey gals.
The Jersey girls,
Jersey girls.
We have 4 Jersey girls in the company, 3 on stage every night, and they're amazing. And they work really, really hard and play a million different roles and have all sorts of different things they do. And they're super talented, so...
Awesome. Well, you heard it from them. Star Spangled Banner at the Nats, and then a medley at the Cherry Blossoms. But the main reason we're here is for the run at National Theater.
Yes,
so
sir.
That's right.
This is it's a great place to see it, and this is part of the national tour. How many cities have you guys hit so far?
We lost count a long time ago.
This particular tour has been open for 5 years now, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, going on 5. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that you guys have been together for that long? Or?
No, we've done it various amounts. Aaron's been doing it.
Yeah, I've been doing the show for over 4 years, but we've been together for 6 months as a group.
Yeah, I've been here almost a year and a half. You guys are just over a year and a half.
Yeah, just under 2 years.
Just under 2 years.
Jeez, we're the vets.
That's right.
How did that happen?
I don't know. It snuck up.
What city did you guys just come from?
Sioux City, Iowa.
Woohoo! Is this heaven or is it Iowa, right?
That's right.
We got to go with the baseball references. Come on, guys, get in the mood. Come on, Star Spangled Banner. Okay, cool. Let's say that we've obviously all seen and know the show and know the songs really well, but let's say that one of our listeners has heard about it but has never seen it. What can they expect? What is the story about, in your words, Frankie Valli?
The story is it's the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, how they come together as a group, how they toil through rock and roll and pop stardom and eventually kind of go their separate ways and, you know, find different things in life. The one thing I will say, though, if you think you don't know the music, you're wrong. Everybody who's lived in this country for the last 50 or 60 years knows these songs. They've been everywhere. from the radio to television commercials to
Heath Ledger singing "Can't Take My Eyes Off You" in movies. It's
exactly everywhere. You don't realize, and that's what when people first see the show, the first thing out of their mouths is, "I didn't realize they sang all those songs."
Yeah.
And you know the songs, and you love the songs. They're awesome.
What are some of them? We got "Walk Like a Man." We got "Big Girls Don't Cry." We got "Sherry."
Yep. "Can't Take My Eyes Off of You."
"Oh What a Night."
"Oh What a Night."
"Ragdoll."
"Ragdoll."
"Big Man in Town Who Loves You."
"Begging."
Hits keep coming.
Do each of you have a favorite? Go one at a time. Or you can name a couple.
It changes.
Yeah, it really does change even night to night. But I'm gonna go ahead and say "Cry for Me Today."
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
You really want me to cry for you, or is that your favorite song?
That's my favorite song. But if you could, it'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, I can do it on Impact right there. Mm. All right, you sir.
Yeah. Can't take my eyes off of you.
Of you. Yeah. you say it in spurts. You got to sort of, you know.
I'm just clarifying as
the
we go.
The suspense.
Yeah.
You're just so good to Killed be it. True. you sir.
I really like "Begging."
Oh, yeah.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
I like "Working My Way."
Yeah.
I think that's a really fun song. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. How do you master, because of Frankie Valli pipes and you know the voice, he hits that high note. How do you master that? Did you listen to his stuff for a while?
Of course I was familiar with the stuff. I just so happened to have a similar tenor voice, not exactly the same as Frankie. Obviously nobody has a voice
you
like
are
Frankie.
Frankie reincarnated. Oh, he's still alive though. So.
He is still alive, yeah. And still touring.
Performing, yeah.
In his 82nd year of life. You know, I work hard to maintain my voice, take care of it, all those sorts of things, and so, you know, it's there.
Yeah. How about Tommy DeVito? Tell our listeners, if they don't know the backstory of his character, how did he meet Frankie and your role in the show?
You know, so all these guys grew up together on the streets in New Jersey, so Tommy kind of put everyone together. He's the ringleader of the group, found everybody, held the group together for 10 years. There were 10 years of struggles before Sherry hit their first number one hit. And so Tommy was kind of responsible for keeping everyone on track.
Yeah. How about Bob?
Bob was, I guess, the principal songwriter of the group. So, you know, he was sort of the brains behind the operation in a way.
And these guys are, these are gritting their teeth at
you. Yeah, yeah. Hey,
Tommy was the muscle. Bob was the brains.
Face facts, guys.
Tommy was
Frankie
the
was the voice.
Yeah.
And he was the best looking of the group. So it's perfect casting.
And you, sir. All right, so if we have the voice and the brawn and the brains, what would be your?
I don't know.
Moniker?
Maybe the mystery.
The mystery. Oh.
Yeah. He. Nick Massey is. Early on, he was the mastermind behind the harmonies and the music. He never wrote anything down. He heard all the harmonies in his head, and he would just designate them to people. And so he kind of kept all the music sharp. And he loved to have a good time. He lived for the music, but enjoyed all of his time between the concerts a lot. He's a big, big party animal. And, but then once Bob Crewe and Bob Gaudio kind of took over, he saw his way out of the group and, became, a tailor somewhere and kind of moved on and had an alternate life afterward.
Yeah. Mysterious even now in his alternate life. Speaking of all these different roles and backstories, in addition to the four, a lot of people forget, or maybe they see the show and they didn't realize that Joe Pesci played a role.
That's right.
Even before, I think Raging Bull was his first movie in 80 with Scorsese, but I'm pretty sure before all of that stuff, he helped, you explain it, his role in discovering the guys.
Yeah, he was friends with Gaudio and friends with Tommy, and he and Tommy are actually still friends, he was one of the people that brought Bob Gaudio into the group and introduced him to Tommy. Said, "Look, I've got this guy that's really talented. He's a songwriter. He's everything you're looking for." At a time when the group was looking for something like that, and so he plays a small role in bringing the guys together.
Who plays him in the show?
His name is Johnny Wexler.
Okay.
Plays Joe Pesci.
Awesome. Does he have the old Pesci talk down?
A little bit.
Amuse you?
Yeah. Before I was Frankie Valli, I played Joe Pesci in the Las Vegas Company.
Really?
Yeah. And so,
how do you switch to those hats?
It's
get a little taller.
actually, no, they're about the same height in real life.
Cool.
It's a similar attitude and a similar look. So it's not a huge change, but it is different.
It's really cool. Explain sort of just how, if they're having a bad day, explain how lively this thing is, because it really is just an upbeat, fun musical. I mean, it has its dramatic moments, obviously, like any good thing, but
it's infectious. You know, even when, you know, there are nights where we show up at the theater tired or whatever, but the second that first downbeat hits, you're instantly just energized, ready to go.
Are people singing along the whole time?
A lot of times, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Up on their feet.
We encourage everyone to.
Yeah, the rowdier, the better.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Said mystery man over here.
That's right.
Who wants the rowdy? So if I remember correctly from when I saw it at National Theater, like almost a decade ago, at the end, there's like a bit of an encore, right, where everyone stands and sings some songs, right? Is it a medley? I'm trying to remember.
No.
No?
Okay. It's a reprise of Oh, What a Night.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it.
So you'll leave on your feet.
Oh, yeah. Definitely we will. Yeah.
Okay, this is awesome. Did you guys see the Eastwood movie?
We did.
Yeah, absolutely.
How does this compare to that? I thought that was a little darker tone.
It's darker. It's different. You know, film is a completely different medium than theater is. And the show was conceived as a musical theater stage piece. And so when you come and see the show, you get the live concert experience of seeing the guys in concert. And that's something you can't experience on film. However, the film also does things that we can't do, close-up shots, mm-hmm. really emotional moments and things like that. We try to achieve, but it's different on stage. Yeah. So, you know, apples
you
and oranges.
You only get one take.
Right? Exactly.
But we get that one take every night.
Every night, yeah.
So. True. Very good point. That's awesome. So, yeah, I mean, what else are we missing out? What is the costuming involved in this one? I'm sure we get those good, like, 50s, 60s period piece.
It.
Yeah.
Suits. Right here.
Suits and more suits.
Yeah.
Lots of suits.
And even the girls, nice dresses. They do a really good job of capturing the time. It really takes you back and you feel like you're in the period. But yeah, I think the real highlight is the suits. We have such a good time wearing those suits. Yeah, I love them a lot.
Of course. Why do you think all these jukebox musicals are so popular? I mean, we had Beautiful the Carole King one. We had Motown the Musical. Million Dollar Quartet was just here. It seems like, and it's a lot of these cross-generational tunes from like the, you know, like I guess maybe parents or grandparents are now, they can take their kids and they relive all these songs. So explain, one of you guys jump in and explain why you think
a lot of those that you just mentioned are successful largely due to Jersey Boys. Jersey Boys is kind of the pioneer of that style of jukebox musical, I guess. It's not really
it
a jukebox
work.
Musical in the definition of it, but it certainly pioneered that idea of taking an artist's music to show their life and use it in their life story. And I think after the success of Jersey Boys, people realized there was really a market out there for shows like that.
So you think it sort of proved that could work? It's weird to think now
I think there was
a time where maybe that wasn't so sure, but I guess you're right. Yeah, when this show came about, it did. Yeah,
it did kind of shift gears in the quote-unquote jukebox musical kind of realm. You know, Mamma Mia uses the ABBA songs to try to tell a story, mm-hmm. a fictional story. Our show uses the songs as part of the story, and in some cases, a couple of cases, actually tries to tell the story with the song too, but their story, not a fictional story, a real story.
Right, yeah. And I guess just sort of piggybacking off of that, this show, unlike maybe some other shows, can even bring in audiences that maybe aren't even that big fans of musicals. It's not people randomly breaking out in songs, even though I like musicals. I love musicals. But, you know, let's say some of our listeners aren't. Explain to them why that, you know, it's not just the people breaking out in songs. You guys are recording songs on stage. It's part of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, talk about why it's different in that regard, too.
Oh, you know, I think it has something in it for everybody. It's basically a musical episode of The Sopranos out there. There's something in it for everybody.
I always like to say that this is a great musical for guys who don't necessarily like to see musicals because it's about real guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guys in the come from this group are men guys. They're guy guys. They are so there's not a lot of you know, there's no ballet dancing or anything like that in the show. It's a musical for guys about guys.
With a big Sopranos whack in the end.
Exactly.
The theater just goes black and you don't know what happened. You don't know. Did they record Oh, One Night? We will never know.
Wait for Jersey Boys 2.
Wait for Jersey Boys 2. Yeah, exactly. But also explain that in addition to that, so you can attract the non-musical fans, the guys you say, explain how it's also like even musical fans geek out over this one, including myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just the perfect marriage of a story and great music. You know, there's a lot of gambling debts, broken marriages. There's a lot of, you know, drama that happens that these guys have to weather to actually make it and come back. And it's all real. And so that's the crazy part, is that everything really happens. Some of the parts you think, oh, you couldn't even write that. because you can't write that. It really happened.
It really happened. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the music on top of that is just, you know, it's got all the elements.
So. Do you guys have a favorite? We asked favorite songs. Do you have a favorite scene?
Well, that's a good question.
That is a good one.
The sit down.
Not involving any numbers, but more of the, you know, the acting scenes.
Yeah, it might be the sit down.
There's a big scene. The very first scene that was written for the show. I remember them telling us when we got cast before they fleshed that out is a scene in the second act where we're trying to figure out a way to get Tommy out of his. Situation that he's gotten himself into, and it's like 12 pages of just acting with no music. And so it seems like a long break for a musical
centered around the music. It's a 7-8 minute scene.
It's just a
with
pure
no
dramatic
music.
Scene.
Yeah, great.
But it's solid. It's so the writing is just so good.
Don't get lost during intermission. Get back because the best scene is in. That's what they're saying. It's in the second half, there, guys. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, just generally, you know, just to wrap it up, because I know you guys have a busy schedule here making the rounds. But what is, you know, let's say like 50 years from now when we look back, or even 100 years when we're all dead and gone, what is Jersey Boys' legacy going to be in terms of the grand scope of Broadway? You know, you think of all the major shows, Phantom and Cats and everything else, you know, but where's Jersey Boys' place?
Well, I think it's going to be right up there. You know, it just had its 10-year anniversary on Broadway. It's only about 2 years away from being one of the top 10 longest-running Broadway shows in history. It's already, I think, number 12.
Yep, that's right.
So it's certainly left a legacy, and it's continuing to do so, and I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon.
Do you guys know what it has to catch for the 11th spot?
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a tale as old as time. That's going to be tough. All right. Do you know, but do you think it, I think it can make it in the top 10.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think it'll get there. Absolutely.
These songs will be around forever. Guys, is there anything else we left out? I'm really excited to see all of your events here.
Yeah. We're excited to be here. We are very excited to be here.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Osei Can You See tomorrow at opening day, right?
That's right.
And then Cherry Blossom Festival. And then starting Friday through, do we know?
The 24th.
The 24th.
3 weeks.
Yes. A three or so week run.
Yeah.
What we have a date change?
We're starting tonight.
It starts tonight.
Yeah. And then it's there for a couple weeks. So
and you get tickets at the nationaldc.com website.
3 weeks in April. Check out Jersey Boys at National Theater, and then check them out at Nats Park and the Cherry Blossom.
Perfect.
Guys, you're awesome.
Real
Thanks
pleasure.
So much.
Thanks so much, Jason.